All right. We are going to jump into the Word of God and get back to our study of the Book of Romans. And of course, it's not going to be a very long session this morning. But there are some important things I want us to consider this morning. We're in chapter 5 of the Book of Romans. And actually, the first 11 verses of chapter 5 all fit together, and they proclaim different aspects of the same truth that's presented there. But we're only going to have a chance to go over about 2 verses this morning. Lord willing, we'll get back into chapter 5 next week. Romans chapter 5. Now, the question that Paul answered very convincingly in chapter 4, if you remember, was, does the gospel agree with the teaching of the Old Testament? And going back to the beginning of things in the Old Testament, it is clear that justification has always been by faith. And the Apostle Paul has shown us that there is obviously complete harmony between the gospel in the New Testament and in the Old. And that fact would be especially important, you understand, to the Jewish people who base their identity in the Old Testament and God's promises to them as a nation. But that truth about the harmony of the gospel message in the New Testament and the Old Testament is vital to us non-Jewish people as well, to be sure. If the whole Bible, all 66 books, contribute to and develop the same story, and if they all bring us to the same conclusion, then we really have a solid foundation for our faith in Jesus Christ. And you see, the Old Testament points to Him, to the Lord Jesus and His work, and then the New Testament announces His arrival and records His work and His actions while He was on the earth and His victory. And then it proclaims the fascinating fact that one day He's going to come back to this earth again. Now, if the Old Testament and the New Testament did not agree and there was a contradiction in the Bible, then we simply couldn't trust it, could we? But Paul has clearly demonstrated the perfect harmony between the two testaments. And the clear conclusion, after looking back to the case of Abraham in the Old Testament, which is what Paul's been dealing with for some time now, was that righteousness was put to Abraham's account before the law was given, with the emphasis on that word, before. And before he was circumcised, and that he did not deserve or earn justification in any way, so that he could not boast in himself. That's what is made clear when we look at the Old Testament account. Now, the good news for you and I this morning is what God's apostle points out to us, going back to chapter 4 of Romans in verses 23 and 24. Let me read that. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, talking about Abraham, but also for us it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now, justification in the eyes of God comes to us in the same way it did for Abraham, by faith and not by working for it. Now, the practical results of being justified on God's terms are explained to us in chapter 5 in the first 11 verses. So, let's read all 11 verses, even though we're only going to talk about the first 2 this morning. Let's jump in here, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Now, justification is an important Bible word having to do with God's way of salvation. When God looks at someone and he makes the declaration justified, he is declaring that the believing sinner is righteous in Christ, not righteous in himself. He's not made righteous. He is declared righteous because his righteousness is not his own. It is the righteousness of Christ that's been put to his account. Now, when it comes to my relationship with God and your relationship with God, it is what God declares about us that is most important. Would you agree? And you can take my opinion and your opinion and the opinion of all the religions of that the world has ever known and put them wherever you want to put them. The only opinion important to me is God's opinion. And by the way, he is my creator. He is the one that my sin has offended. And in the end, he is the one that I must stand before. Now, chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first practical result of justification we see here is peace with God. Note it does not say peace of God. It's not talking about an inner sense of calm that we have as believers, even though God does give us that kind of peace. The peace with God means the sinner's war with God is ended. Now, if we follow what Paul has revealed to be true in Romans, we remember back in chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And God and the sinner are enemies whether the sinner recognizes it or not. There is no fellowship there. We are not born in this world with God being our Father. We are separated from God because of our sin. Now, notice that the peace comes through our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's vital. The problem of our sin has been settled by the blood of Christ. Because Jesus died in our place, you see, God is now our Father and not our judge. So Paul assures us, having been justified by faith in Jesus Christ, we now have peace with God. And that is true of every believer, every justified one. Now, I wonder, do we realize, Christians, this morning, how fully God is for us in Christ? Do you see what God's apostle keeps saying to us in the book of Romans? Paul is saying it as clearly as he can. Do we hear it? Do we understand him? The apostle is almost shouting. Do we hear him? Paul is telling us justification is all about Jesus Christ. Salvation is all about Jesus Christ. Acceptance by God is all about, guess what? Jesus Christ. Peace with God is all about Jesus Christ. Forgiveness of sin is all about Jesus of Christ. And at this point in Romans, Paul is basically through with telling us that salvation is not by good works or religion. As important as it is to know what salvation does not depend on, Paul, I think, has made that point pretty clearly and forcefully up to this point. And it's important to know what it does not depend on, but the victory comes by knowing and trusting in the one that it does depend on. In verse 1, justification is by faith in Jesus Christ. And in verse 2, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. That access is also ours through Jesus Christ. So what is this grace that Paul's talking about in which we stand as believers? Well, it's this. It is our standing in favor with God because of our Savior. It's our standing in favor with God because of the one who is our Savior. Now, how do we gain access into such a favored standing? Well, verse 2 tells us clearly, by faith. But we have to ask the question, faith in who? Faith in what? Well, four chapters of Revelation from the book of Romans only leaves us one person we can put our faith in for salvation. Class, who's that? Jesus Christ. Now, when the guilty sinner accepts God's verdict of his lost condition, by the way, which includes the realization that he has nothing to offer in himself that will gain salvation or earn it, and then understanding from God's book, the Bible, that Jesus Christ, in his death and his burial and his resurrection, listen now, has accomplished everything for the sinner that God requires. That's what Paul's been telling us. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's accomplished. And then that sinner turns to Jesus and rests all of his trust in him. And to rest all of your trust in Jesus and what he's accomplished for you for your salvation, guess what you got to do? You got to take it out of everything else you were trusting in. Because whatever else you were trusting in ain't going to get you there. But if you put your faith in Christ, you can be assured that you're trusting in the one and in the work that God says you ought to be trusting in. And so when you do that as a sinner, the result then is forgiveness and acceptance into God's family, peace with God, and God's declaration about you, justified. Justified. The blessed is the person about whom God looks at and says, justified. Now, access is given into a favored standing, Paul calls it, this grace in which you stand. Now, I go through all of that at the risk of overstating it to make an important point. It's an important point. How much time do we have? We might have to go over a little bit. Okay, the very strengthening and vital truth that I see Paul revealing in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11 is that, now follow me in this because this is important, that just like our salvation is not being earned or deserved by our performance in life, do you understand that? We don't gain it or earn it by how we live our life, by the good things we do, but by our faith in Jesus Christ, neither is our salvation preserved. Neither is our salvation preserved by our success. Paul understands that this is something many Christians struggle with. And let me try and understand help you understand what I'm talking about. Even though we understand that we do not deserve salvation to start with, we sometimes think that God expects us to be worthy of it after salvation, or we could lose it. We think that getting into God's family depends on Jesus, and it does. But that staying in God's family and being accepted by him depends on me, depends on us. That is where we are wrong. Do you understand that, believers today? We're wrong if that's what we think. The truth Paul wants us to understand is that undeserving sinners are saved by grace through faith in Jesus, and undeserving Christians are kept eternally because their whole acceptance by God from the beginning to the end was because of their standing in Jesus Christ. Their standing in grace. Now, Paul says to Christians, your faith in Christ has given you access into a standing in grace. And that means that you were put into a place where when God looks at you, He does not see your lack of righteousness, but He sees the righteousness of Christ that has been put to your account. That holds true from the moment we put our faith in Christ until the end of eternity. There is no switchover. There's nothing that happens that switches it over that takes place after salvation, where God expects us to earn and deserve salvation if we hope to keep it. None of this negates the fact that the Lord desires holiness and faithfulness and fruit bearing in every Christian's life. The whole area of our holy walk and fruitfulness and faithfulness to the Lord and that whole area of spiritual growth, that's what the Bible calls sanctification. Spiritual growth. Sanctification has to do with spiritual growth and holiness in the Christian's life after salvation is complete. So in sanctification, sometimes the Christian is up and sometimes the Christian is down. Sometimes our lives honor God and sometimes they do not. Sometimes we have victory over sin and sometimes we fail completely and fall flat on our faces as believers. Now, if our continued acceptance by God depended on our performance after salvation, let me tell you, nobody would stay saved very long. Our security rests in our standing in Jesus Christ, not in our doing or deserving, just like before we were saved. Sanctification, you see, begins after salvation, but does not affect salvation in any way. I'm just as much accepted by my Heavenly Father when I'm on top and living in victory and living in a way that honors Him as when I've fallen flat on my face in sin. Because you see, it does, the security of my salvation depends totally on my Savior and not in me. And the Apostle Paul would say to us, do not think that the basis for your acceptance by God after you are saved is removed from Jesus Christ and put on you and your performance. If you did not deserve salvation to start with, what makes you think it does afterwards? It's a good question. You need to answer that in your own hearts and minds. Paul declares the standing of the Christian is in what? In grace. It's in grace. The undeserved, unearned favor of God that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. You see, the reason your salvation is secure and cannot be lost is because it depends from beginning to end on your Savior and not on you at all. That's the best news I've heard for a long time. Now, thank God, it does not depend on you. Sing Amazing Grace with gusto because it does not depend on you. Be confident and secure and undefeated Christian because the one who stepped down out of heaven, who stretched his arms out to allow them to nail nails in the palms of his hands and into his feet on that old rugged cross, the one who broke out of death in that tomb to live, to get victory over death. The one who rose up, who is now seated at the right hand of God to intercede for you. He is the one who gains you acceptance by God. And He is the only one who can maintain your acceptance by God. You and I cannot maintain acceptance by God. You and I cannot earn acceptance by God to start with. And so we must say, thank God for the gift of the Son of God who took my place on the cross, who now sits as my intercessor at the right hand of my Father. And this is why Paul says to Christians at the end of verse 2, look at it there, the last part of verse 2, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This word hope and what the Bible means when it uses this word is critical to the understanding of what Paul is saying. Now, those who have learned a second language know that it's not always possible to find an exact equivalent for a word in the other language that expresses the exact same meaning. It's like this. You know, a word in English will have a circle of meaning like this within that circle. But a word in another language, say Spanish, will have a circle of meaning like this that overlaps into the meaning in English, but it also carries some other meaning in Spanish. You see, so many times that happens from one language to another. It's not always an exact word-for-word translation where everything is understood exactly the same. Now, when we see the word hope in English, it usually carries some degree of uncertainty, doesn't it? Like, I hope it doesn't rain today, but I know that there is a possibility that it might. And the New Testament word hope, carried over from the original Greek language, carries no feeling of uncertainty. It speaks of something that is certain. The only unknown part of it is when it's going to happen. But we know it's going to happen. We have no doubt about that. The Christian's hope of the glory of God is the expectation of what we know is coming. It is as sure as a promise of God. So if God has promised it, there is no uncertainty about what is in store for us. So what is this expectation of the glory of God that we are so certain about? Well, here is where we need some help from other parts of the Bible in understanding a verse that does not provide us much information. Now, if you remember what the Apostle Paul revealed to be true in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, Romans 3:23, you will get some valuable input about the glory of God. And it tells us there, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And here we learn that everyone in the human family falls short of the glory of God. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Can't be a whole lot of argument about what it means. We all fail to live up to the divine standard, to the way that our Creator intends for us to live. You know, we were created in the image of God in the beginning with the capacity to live in the way God intends us to. But don't miss what verse 23 has just told us, that we have all sinned. We have all sinned, and that's why we fall short. Now, the only exception to this in the human family was the Lord Jesus Christ. He not only did not sin, but he reacted to every situation in life in the way that God intended for all of his creatures to react, that we fail to react in. Now, in sanctification, God is working in our lives to make us like Jesus Christ. That's one of God's major goals in the life of every believer. The promise of Scripture is that one day, when we see the Lord Jesus, the sanctification process will be incomplete. Will be completed. We're talking about 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, where we're told that. And when we see the Lord Jesus, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In other words, we are a work in progress as believers. We're not now what we're going to be. We're not going to be completely what God wants us to be until we see our Savior and look him face to face and see him as he is. Now, I don't understand how that's all going to happen, but that's what the Word of God says is going to happen. This process of becoming more like the Lord Jesus is going to be completed and brought to fulfillment the moment that we see the Lord Jesus. Now, that may take place at the rapture. For some of us, God may call us home before the rapture. But when we see the Lord Jesus and see him as he is, that process that's in progression will be completed when we see the Lord Jesus. And we're going to be like him. And then we are going to share in some of his glory. So Paul says that this standing in grace allows us to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We don't rejoice in the hope that it might happen. We joyfully look forward to the time when we shall be so much like the Lord Jesus that we shine with His glory. Now, I look around at this group this morning, and I don't see anybody here that is very close to that yet. Some of you less than others. But every Christian that I see, every born-again one that I see here today, I can tell you, you are going to experience that. That's the hope that we've been promised. Now, at that time, none of you guys are going to say, you should have seen me when I was 21. You should have seen me when I was young and healthy and good-looking. Nobody's going to say that, I can guarantee you. They will say, just look at me now. And you better put your sunglasses on because I'm shining. I'm shining like the Lord Jesus. Now, we're going to say, look at me now. All the rough edges of my character are finally smoothed out. You're not going to get any more bad attitude from me. You see, because I'm like the Lord Jesus now. All that ego and that self-centeredness and selfishness and covetousness, that's all gone now. The Lord Jesus has no problem with that, and I don't either, because you see, I'm like the Lord Jesus now. Do you see this glow that's kind of shining off of me? Well, that's the reflection of the glory of God. I'm sharing in God's glory because of the Lord Jesus. And because of my standing in grace. And look at you, you justified one. What an amazing person you have become. You're like the Lord Jesus now. I can see it. And Christian, Paul says to all of us justified ones, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Rejoice. Anticipate it. It is your future for sure. And because it's all because of the grace in which you stand. We're going to have to stop there. But Christians, I can't wait to see some of you guys when we're up there in heaven. It's not going to be hard at all to put up with you then. And it's not going to be hard for you to put up with me. I have to say that. You see, because all the praise goes to our Savior, because we're going to be like Him. And folks who may be unsaved here this morning, you don't want to miss out on that blessing. You need to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll forgive your sin. He'll put you in a standing of grace that is so secure because it depends on the Lord Jesus and doesn't depend on you. Lord, I'm so thankful for the standing of grace that we have as believers because of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. So we just want to say thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for that wonderful gift. Lord, draw unsaved folks to faith in Jesus today, I pray. Help us as believers to not be defeated because we know that we're someday going to be like the Lord Jesus in ways that just reflect your glory and your honor. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.